Galaxy Audio presents Slaves of Sleep by L. Ron Hubbard.
It was with a weary frown that Jan Palmer beheld Thompson standing there on the dock. Thompson, like some evil raven, never made his appearance unless to inform Jan in a somehow accusative way that business, after all, should supersede such silly trivialities as sailing. Jan was half-minded to put the flatty about and scud back across the wind-patterned Puget Sound, but he had already luffed up into the wind to carry into the dock, and Thompson had unbent enough to reach for the painter, more as an effort to detain Jan than to help him land. Jan let go his jib and main halyards and guided the sail down into a restive bundle. He pretended not to notice Thompson, using nearsightedness as his usual excuse, for although nothing was actually wrong with his eyes, he found that glasses helped him in his uneasy maneuvers with mankind.
"The gentleman from the university is here to see you again, Mr. Palmer."
Thompson scowled his reproof for such treatment of a man of learning. Everybody but Jan Palmer impressed Thompson.
"He has been waiting for more than 2 hours."
"I wish," said Jan, "I wish you'd tell such people you don't know when I'll be back. I haven't anything to say to him."
"He seems to think differently. It is a shame that you can't realize the honor such people do you. If your father—"
"Do we have to go into that?" said Jan fretfully. "I don't like to have to talk to such people. They make me nervous."
"Your father never had any such difficulties. I told him before he died that it was a mistake."
"I know," sighed Jan. "It was a mistake. But I didn't ask to be his heir."
"A healthy man rarely leaves a will when he is still young. And you, as his son, should at least have the courtesy to see people when they search you out. It has been a week since you were even near the offices."
"I've been busy," defended Jan.
"Busy?"
said Thompson, pulling his long nose as though to keep from laughing. He had found long, long ago, when Jan was hardly big enough to feed himself, that it was no difficult matter to bully the boy, since there would never be any redress.
"Busy with a sailboat when 15 Alaska liners are under your control? But you're still keeping the gentleman waiting."
"I'm not going to see him," said Jan in a tone of defiance which already admitted his defeat. "He has no real business with me. It is that model of the Arab dhow. He wants it, and I can't part with it, and he'll wheedle and fuss, and—" He sat down on the combing and put his face in his palms. "Oh, why," he wept, "why can't people leave me alone?"
"Your father would turn over in his grave if he heard that," said the remorseless Thompson. "There isn't any use of your sitting there like a spoiled child and wailing about people. This gentleman is a professor at the university, and he has already waited for you for 2 hours. As long as you are a Palmer, people will continue to call on you. Now come along."
Resentfully, well knowing he should slam this ancient bird of a secretary into his proper position, Jan followed up the path from the beach to the huge, garden-entrenched mansion. Theoretically, the place was his, all his, but that was only theoretically. Actually, it was overlorded by a whiskered grand aunt, whose already sharp temper had been whetted by the recent injustices of the probate court. She was waiting now, inside the door, her dark dress stiff with disapproval, her needle-point eyes sighted down her nose, ready to pick up the faint dampness of Jan's footprints.
"Jan! Don't you dare soak that rug with salt water, indeed! One would think you'd been raised on a tide flat, for all the regard you have for my efforts to give you a decent home. Jan, don't throw your cap on that table. What would a visitor think?"
"Yes, Aunt Ethel," he replied with resignation. He wished he had nerve enough to say that the house was evidently run for no one but visitors.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?